Hello, friends and travelers. Thanks for listening. You are riding along on the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Our mission is to spread awareness of the true hostel experience in the Americas and share stories from the fascinating hosts who create those unique facilities. I'm your host, Jimmy Black, joined alongside co-founder of International Travelers House, Bobby Dyer. Each session, we sit down with hostel operators or travel influencers to hear about their road to success, discuss trending hostel topics, and close with tips for travelers who are seeking to have the ultimate experience when visiting each destination. You can't afford to miss this trip. Now fasten your seatbelts and let's hit the road.
Welcome back to the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Jimmy Black here. I'm live from Big Bear Lake, California, at the ITH Big Bear Lake Hostel, joined by my co-founder of ITH, Robert Dyer. We call him Bobby. He's down in Sayulita, Mexico, nearby our Sayulita amazing hostel. And I'm joined by Sarah. Very excited to talk about the Santa Cruz Hostel and what's going on up there in beautiful Santa Cruz, California, located on the beautiful Pacific Coast Highway and the coast, and just an amazing backpacker trail within America, our favorite. A little biased on that, but it is a beautiful space of hostels along that coast. But so, Sarah, I always like to ask off the bat to make sure we cover it. What was your personal exposure to hostels? How did you get into it? You know, what were you staying at them a lot? Did you work at them a lot? What brought you to where you're at now?
Yeah, I did stay at them. I wouldn't say a lot. I traveled a lot through Europe, like in college. And then in West Africa, and then in the Eastern Caribbean. So I guess it was more just like the international travel part and meeting international travelers coming through Nashville at that time. But Nashville was the first hostel that I worked at. And I managed
the Music City one?
I did manage the Music City one, also the downtown one.
Okay.
Nice.
Same owner, but.
Okay. So because we did two podcasts at, we went to each of those locations, did one podcast years back before they had the awful incident there with that bombing that messed up that, because it was such a beautiful hostel. We had seen it when it was just getting finished there and what an amazing job it was. So now, you worked with Ryan?
Yeah. So I guess I did work with Ryan, and he's the reason why I'm also in Santa Cruz. He's in Monterey. And the Monterey Hostel is open and looking really beautiful.
And is this a collaboration? Are you two like sister hostels from Nashville?
No, but just friends.
Oh, okay.
Bounce back and forth.
Cool. Work together, really nice. And you meet at a hostel in Nashville. They go through some tough times, and then you both end up finding yourself running your own hostels on the coast of California.
Right. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Right when I got done with the Peace Corps, I moved back to Chicago, but then I moved to Nashville and was looking for a job. And I seriously just happened to walk by the hostel and was like, maybe I should try this. And I go in and there was a sign on the desk that said they were hiring a manager. So I was like, all right, let's give this a try.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then to Santa Cruz, tell us a little bit about that hostel story and how it got started and where it is today when you,
You know, the Santa Cruz Hostel is a nonprofit. It's ran by the Santa Cruz Hostel Society. The Santa Cruz Hostel Society was started in 1972, and their original locations were in high school gyms in the summer. And then they also rented like a Victorian house downtown, but more mainly just seasonal hosteling. And now they're located at the Carmelita Cottages, which is a city owned property in the city of Santa Cruz. And we lease it from the city. We've been in this location for 32 years. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And all the cottages are from the late 1800s. The property is just beautiful. Very relaxed space, happy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's in the
beautiful.
Perfect location.
We went there a few years ago, or I've been there. We've both been there, and it is a really cool property. So peaceful,
come back,
like
it's
you said.
Cooler now, even.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Bob was mentioning that, and he said, yeah, we're, oh, you know, next week we're doing Santa Cruz. And I was like, oh, yeah, we did that one before. And we were kind of laughing because it's in the Hostel Road Trip podcast deep vault because we never released it. So this will be the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this will be the first release.
I looked
release,
on your thing and didn't see any from Santa Cruz. So.
Yeah. So, but we have the recording somewhere. So now I've got the task of going and burying it out of an old iMac, but. You know, we'll release your episode first, but maybe we'll have a flashback episode sometime soon down the line. You know, so you can see how the growth has been. But we actually did an on-site recording at that time.
Oh,
this
okay.
This was before the pandemic.
Who was that with?
You know, it was a
Loretta?
Younger guy.
Devin?
He had his own vodka thing going on.
Yes, Devin.
Devin, yes.
I've never met that person, but. Yeah,
he was a wild man. He had his own vodka company type of thing going on. So there was a lot of vodka during that recording. It probably led to the fact why it's in the deep vault. But it was a great time, and it was before the pandemic, so we used to actually go on the road, on a road trip, and then would hit up a bunch of hostels and record at the location.
That's awesome.
Obviously, the pandemic stopped that for a while, and then the Zoom became a very efficient way of doing it. But it was really cool to see that property. And there's so many hidden gems that people don't know about within the hostel industry. Yours, one of them, in the way that, like, you would never think that a hostel is operating out of that layout and that property. It's so cool, gorgeous. You're like, no way a hostel could afford to, like, rent this out. But you've got that unique situation where the Hostel Society is a nonprofit that has, at least from the city, at a very great rate in a long-term basis. And it allows you to offer that awesome product. At an affordable
rate.
Yeah,
so we'll be there for at least another 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Good for
just
you.
Signed a new lease. So.
Oh, that must be so cool to have that relief and have that, you know, forward-looking view and track. But that's great to hear because it's so important that towns like that down the coast have great hostels, because I've always been a firm believer that increases the people's use and willingness to try out hostels, and then they start hopping. You know, down the trail or up the coast. So I'm so happy to hear that Santa Cruz will be locked in for decades to come. How many beds are, because it is a unique, you have so many little cottages that are so cool, main houses, things like, how many beds in total?
Yeah, so there's 5 cottages and 42 beds. So we sleep 48 if you put 2 in a, you know, a full or queen bed. But yeah, it's small. I mean, relatively
I think that's the perfect size. I've always been a believer that once you go over 50, you start to lose the intimacy with every guest, you know, and now they're just they're in bed 8B. That's not Barry, you know, that you lose that
you don't
connection.
Know every guest by name like you
yes
do.
Yes, and we've got a range of hostel sizes that we've got within our little collective, you know, that go from 30 beds up to 80 beds, and the difference is so noticeable. If you're picking up a shift in the 80 bed hostel and you've got 55 checkouts and 37 check-ins, and you're like, oh my god, as compared to the 30 bed hostel where you know that guy likes caramel in his pancakes, you know, that type of you know Judy needs to catch that bus tomorrow, you know, make sure she, you know, that type of, and I that's really when you get Bob and I always talk about the ultimate host. You know, you really can cater in that old school bed and breakfast type of hospitality where there's that intimate connection with the guests that makes them feel like they're at home on the road. So I love that size. Now, with 48 beds, you're the manager. Do you live on site or off site?
On site.
So you're on, and then do you do the work exchange on site, or do you have volunteers?
We
that come
do
from
have some work stay. We do have a lot of off site volunteers also, but they mainly help with gardening.
Nice. Okay.
That's cool.
The property set like inside of a garden, and it's a timekeeper's garden. So all the plants are from the times of the cottages. They're all labeled. Yeah.
That's
it's
gorgeous.
Really beautiful.
How cool.
Very nice. And how has your experience been managing in Nashville versus out in Santa Cruz? Was it pretty similar or anything you learned? Tell us some
Santa
stories.
Santa Cruz
of the
is way more my style.
From the beach, I'm
I
guessing,
mean,
as you're speaking from the beach.
Yes, right? Nashville, I love Nashville. I lived there for 8 years. But I'm older now. Nashville's very drinking focused. It's a block off of Broadway, which is the main party street. It's 24/7. It was 350 beds. It, you know, lots of bachelor, bachelorette parties. This is quiet hours start at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. They go till 8 a.m. You rarely have to say anything to anybody. Most people just go to bed early and wake up early to enjoy nature in Santa Cruz, to get out early, go and surfing, or if you're going to do a big hike the next day. So yeah, this is way more my lifestyle. So
nice. Do you guys have activities at the hostel?
Yeah, in the summer we have more activities. So like right now, tonight we have like a BYOB happy hour. We do yoga on the beach. Every week we do a community potluck where we have people from the neighborhood come, a lot of the board members come and join, and then hostel guests, and everybody brings a dish.
Very cool.
We do beach days every Saturday. And then on Sundays, we do s'mores over the fire.
It's all about bringing the people together. But I love to hear that you had the yoga. And I feel like the California hostel vibe has very much more a health and wellness vibe to it.
Yes, right?
Which I love. And as I've gotten older, I've appreciated so much more. I'm like, oh, thank God. You know, this is perfect. I love that you've got a bunch of active things to do tomorrow and you're looking to get a good night's sleep. We're going to have a great breakfast and then you're going to be out for the day and you're having fun and we'll get the place clean. Yeah. And it works. It works well. And when you're younger, of course, and you're enjoying the party more and you're in that, you know, that could be a dangerous vortex, but it's a whole different experience for the hostel when I feel like there's that health and wellness initiative built into the experience.
Yeah, and it just makes it easier.
It's a much more attractive stay. If you feel better yourself, you know, you're feeling good, you know, you want to stay longer, you know, if you're getting blackout drunk and you're hungover and everyone's snoring and there's a guy throwing up in the bathroom, you're like, I'm getting out. That was a good time, but I'm getting out of here.
Somebody puked off the top bunk.
Thanks for the stay, but I'm going to check out early. You know, so I think people miss that a lot of times when they're, you know, maybe a few less keg parties and more yoga classes scheduled, you know, and more hikes and more surfing and more adventures because we've got the weather. You know, and it's just beautiful out all the time. And we need to take advantage of that within the, and I've always, not to go on a rant, but I felt that we could start maybe through one of these hostel associations that have been created, getting like a brand, like, you know, like some places are organic and they get a sticker. Like if you had a health and wellness stamp for
I
the
like
hostel,
that.
You know, so you would, so they would know, like Hostel in US could do this. Like there could be a category. Hey, I want to go to a health and wellness graded hostel. And I know that there's going to be yoga classes. There's going to be outdoor adventures. There's going to be a focus on getting outside and, you know, eating healthy. I think that could be a cool trend that we could create in California and others would follow.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like it would do well too. That's like so much of our guests are doing just that.
Yeah. And
now, have a lot of first time hostelers.
Oh, right. That's great.
Yeah. How about like before you got into the hostel industry, what have you learned now being a hostel manager for years in two places, like that you would maybe yourself before you became a hostel manager? Like how has your life changed? Or maybe what have you learned about yourself through being a hostel manager?
Well, you know, you get more comfortable with uncomfortable situations. You know,
Be a bumper
having
sticker.
To talk to guests about weird things. And training your staff to talk to guests about weird things. Like if people are smelly, I tell them right away when they come in, like your body odor is offensive to me and it's going to be offensive to other people in the room. And, you know, you're welcome to do laundry or take a shower, but something has to happen.
You know, right. That is always a tough conversation, but you got to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, just taking yourself less seriously and not showing so much emotion.
Yeah, no, right there, that 1 minute, you just gave some great advice for any listeners out there or new hostel managers, or even, you know, if you're doing it a long time, you have to reiterate those things to yourself. Because if you take things personally, if you, you know, let things get, you know, overwhelmed, or if you let the gasoline go on the fire, you can start having some really crazy days. But I like how yes. your approach, be direct, be honest. It right? cuts out all the bullshit, you know, and it will save everyone a lot of pain and suffering in the long run.
Yes. I told my staff, I want to get shirts that say rule enforcer, please don't make me work. Basically, it's like what we're there to do, like be a decent human, do all the things, take care of our space.
Right. Clean up after yourself. Be respectful. Right. I like that. Don't make me That's very good.
How about walking into a hostel that's been there for so long? Like, how did you take that? Like, obviously, you know, sometimes a lot of people are making their own hostel for the first time, but, you know, to go into a hostel that's been around for 50 years, like, how did you approach that situation? And then how do you, you know, motivate yourself to keep on paying it forward for years to come? Or, you know, what is your mindset in that?
For me, I think I just really came in at the perfect time. So it was more like almost like starting over, because the pandemic was still in place. Things were all shuffled around from like what they were doing normally. They had closed for a year, they reopened and only were doing private cottage rentals. So I got there in September. This September will be my third year in Santa Cruz. I arrived in September, and by December I had changed it back to hosteling and opening up hostel beds.
Nice.
So really just, I feel like I kind of did start over.
Right. Yeah,
that's true. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like putting like policies and procedures in place that I'm familiar with, like getting things down systematically so that everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows how to respond to a question. So that people aren't getting mixed answers for, can I check in early? You know, like just even simple things like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so important. And that's something that we focus on so much as we had more locations added, that you have to have those systems and procedures. And if they're all the same at every location, then you know that, you know, breakfast at ITH is 7:30 to 9:30, but slight deviations by a person's personal preferences, you know, like, well, I want to start it earlier so I can wrap up earlier so I can go on my break earlier, you know, like, well, now then someone else comes in behind you from another location and gives the wrong time, and now everyone's all effed up. Yeah. So it's so important. And I love that attitude you have of giving it that clarity, because that makes the experience so much better for everyone. And then the guests as well, the ripple effect. If the staff's all stressed out and everyone's living on site, guess what?
Everybody feels that. Yes.
Yeah. We are very contagious in that way, our energy. So I think that's awesome.
I mean, I've also just had great staff since I've got here, and it just made life a little bit easier. You know, turnover is always a difficult thing. You work at a hostel, so it's like you want your staff to go travel and follow their adventures. But every time you get that, can I talk to you? You're like, I just got that talk today.
Yeah. We know.
So
about
we'll be
that
hiring in mid August.
Hey, I know there, Logan. Yeah, there you go. But it's an industry of gypsies, and you have to embrace it. You know, it does take a little bit of time.
I tell them that at the very beginning, like, don't get stressed out about it. Yep. I'm not stressed out about it, you know.
Better they tell
Please,
you
go
about
to Portugal.
It. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just tell me about your feelings. I don't want the letter on the bed in the morning.
Yes.
That's the Dear John letter is what I don't want. So please do tell me. Yeah. You know, I think that's important to embrace and accept that it is a high turnover, transient gypsy industry. And, you know, that is what it is. But the systems make it easier, right?
Yeah, right.
Now you can plug and play. Yep. So I think that's a great point. Great point.
How about for challenge?
I was fortunate starting in Nashville. I mean, my boss there, both of them are just smart and know hosteling and taught me a ton. I mean, Ron and Tracy are awesome and just are very passionate about hosteling. And so they just make you want to make it better for the guests. Like, a better guest experience is the direction you always want to go, you know?
Yep.
But also teaching you that the guest isn't always right, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, a very good point as well. You know, stand your ground when you know that you're right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How do you find, what do you find is the biggest challenge in being a hostel manager?
Oh, I mean, I think I would go back to staffing.
Right.
Especially like this hostel is very seasonal. So just finding that good balance between having too many staff or not enough staff and living on site's another thing where you're living on site, you're always interacting with guests and, you know, being okay with that, but also taking the time to get away when you need it so that you're not chopping somebody's head off for no reason because they ask you what time checkout is, you know, and you're like, it's 10 11.
It's 11. That's
long. Communicate to you.
So before we recharge the batteries. For staff, how do you, maybe how do you, or can you give any tips or advice on how you motivate staff or keep your staff excited to stick around?
Yeah, I think we have, I mean, it's still a job, but we have a lot of fun. I ask them always what their interests are. They're the ones that run the events. They come down to the beach and hang out with the guests. They do the s'mores. They get boardwalk passes, seasonal boardwalk passes as an employee perk. So you can go down to the boardwalk anytime you want and ride rides.
That's great.
Yeah, just always, I mean, when people ask for time off, I never hesitate. The answer is yes, of course. Go ahead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it fun. You got to create an experience, you know, and it's not like a normal work, you know, work job where you, you know, you want to keep it fun and because it's a lifestyle and everyone's living there. It's a community. So,
exactly. Yeah, it's a lifestyle job. And so just like when it's almost nice, the turnover too, like in the hostel aspect of it, because then you have the new blood that comes in. That's like
fresh blood.
Oh, I want to go out and take guest paddle boarding or want to go on a hike or not. Yep. Oh gosh, I've been doing this for a year and I'm kind of tired and I really just want to go home and not talk to anybody.
It's so true. And we started to amend our management contracts and expectations for that reason of, hey, let's take this 6 months at a time. And then we insist that you go travel somewhere after that 6 months. You know, you've got to go on vacation. You got to go travel. You got to get out because we were losing too many good people that didn't really want to leave the job or the company. They just met so many people that they wanted to do a visit and travel.
Go see them, right?
Yeah. And so we were like, this is silly. We want you to go travel because when you come back, you've stayed at 15 hostels. You've got all these new ideas.
Fresh. Yes. That's awesome.
And now, and then, you know, you tag in for someone else who then gets to go in on their vacation.
I'm already thinking, how can I get away this winter?
And then helping, you know, each other out with that. You know, I'm up here in Big Bear and the manager was that lives on site was, hey, it's a friend's birthday the next week. Can you cover this day? And my immediate thought, how do I now trade this for a day with her to make a 3-day weekend where I can go sailing? You know, so you got to use that and help each other out so that you all can get off site because living on site will eventually burn you down. And it, you know, it's so important to have a few hobbies that get
nice
you off
too
site.
About having Ryan right here is we both used, you know, the same property management system. We have mainly the same like policies and procedures, especially just because we both came under the management of Ron from Nashville. So
that's so great. Both use.
I give my staff his number when I'm away.
Oh, that's awesome.
Him. Yeah, and he's happy to, you know, field phone calls and answer questions about cloud beds or if anybody's having problems with things. And
that's a
beautiful
system.
At least one step away.
Well, you know, but so many hostel owners that are singular hostel owners find themselves in that. They feel like they're trapped in their castle. I can't leave. And then even when I do leave, I'm not really leaving because I'm getting called and I'm panicked and I have anxiety. So I was talking to a friend out in New Hampshire who was dealing with that. And you have created a cool thing where you didn't get a part. You have a buddy system of a peer, you know, a professional peer that you trust and have worked with. And now you both can utilize that with each other. Now, do you both use cloud beds?
Yeah, we both use cloud beds. We both use Goki locks.
No, nice. So that's perfect. Good for you too. Yeah, that's fantastic. Great system.
I was going to add on to that, and we do this with some of the properties, and we'd be happy to do it with you, but letting staff stay for free at other hostels. So we have a hostel in Santa Barbara. So if any of your staff ever want to come down for a night or two, we'd be happy to host them, give them a comp bed.
Yeah,
and it's nice to get away for a night. You know, so
I just had a guest or a staff member from SLO come over.
Oh, cool. I like that hostel too. That's a
cute
hostel.
But yeah, I'm always open to hosting hostel employees. We'll always find a spot for you.
Right. It's a great way to get away and go travel still.
Absolutely.
So how about visiting Santa Cruz? What would you say is like the best things you should do if you came out for a couple of days from the local tips?
I mean, Santa Cruz is just so beautiful. I mean, you got to go see the redwoods. I would highly suggest trying to get out and on the water in some capacity, whether you want to get surf lessons or head out on a paddleboard. Steamers Lane is right here, which is like one of the infamous surf spots. I mean, there's just so many things. The boardwalk is awesome. The Giant Dipper just had its 100-year anniversary. So if you like amusement rides, they're 2.5 blocks from our front walk to get to the boardwalk.
That's amazing.
Downtown
sounds like a
here
great...
is super cute.
Now, how about the we've got a hostel up in Chinatown in San Francisco to the north of you, right? And then we've got one to the south of you in Santa Barbara. And then we have LA. What would you say would, from a public transport advice, be? How would you get to Santa Cruz? What would be the best?
So best is to fly into San Jose.
Okay.
And then you take the 17 Express bus, which is $7 one way, and drops you off a 10-minute walk from the hostel.
That's not bad.
If you're coming, if you're flying into San Francisco, which most people do because it's often cheaper, it's not so bad. You take a train to San Jose and then a bus to Santa Cruz. Going south is not great because from Santa Cruz, you have to go back to San Jose to go back down. So even like if you wanted to go to Monterey, it would take you about 3 hours on public transit.
Wow.
It's 45 minutes by your car.
Okay.
Yeah. This is why we need, you know, we bought a school bus and we have this, we were trying to think, we got to create the old PCH hostel hopper. And
that
I was talking to Ryan about, this. I was like, now we got you in Monterey and we got Santa Cruz. You know, that is one of the elements of that area. It's so gorgeous. But because it's so gorgeous, there's not like a tremendous high flow of easy public transport in and out. So maybe that's something we could all explore and reviving. Because I feel like it would be so cool to have that hopping up and down the coast, even just during the summer.
Oh, me too. Yes, yeah. Right? Yeah, that would be awesome. Because we always have guests going that way. And especially since, you know, Big Sur's not open all the way through. So you got to go around.
Yeah. Now, quick question on that personally. What is the status on that?
It hasn't been opened all the way through, I don't think, since I've lived here. And in Lucia, which is like halfway through, is where like the biggest slide is. And pretty much every rainy season, it just gets worse instead of getting better. So they're saying now maybe by this fall. So
okay.
We'll see. But it's still beautiful even just to go down to Lucia and back. But
sure. Yeah.
There's no out besides being in Monterey. There's no other way to get out and back down to 101.
Hey, well, you know, maybe that's when we could time it out to do this bus idea when they reopen the whole run again.
Yes. And be ready
PCH
for that time.
Hostel hopper. Get on board. Here we come. Straight through. All right. Well, just a pleasure speaking with you, Sarah. I love your energy. So happy that we got you on the West Coast now in the California collection of coastal hostels. And Ryan as well. I think we got a very bright future in the coming years to host a lot
Me
of backpackers,
too.
Show them a great time. And don't be a stranger. Come visit us. Use the reciprocity yourself. Come stay at any of our spots.
Yeah, same to you and your staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to have you. Do you have anything in closing to say to any future potential guests or hostel managers aspiring?
Nothing inspiring, but hostel life is awesome.
There you go. I'll take that. All right. Thank you so much
for the Hostel Road Trip.
That's right. Hostels are more fun. Thank you so much, Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Santa Cruz Hostel episode will be dropped shortly. Bob Dyer, Sarah of Santa Cruz. I'm Jimmy Black. Peace out.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.